This is Illinois in Focus 2021 in Review, powered by thecentersquare.com. I'm Greg Bishop. Coming up, the team from the Center Square will highlight some of the state's top stories from the past year about COVID-19 mitigation, the state's population, and more. We'll also look ahead into 2022, what it'll bring with the legislature returning for a truncated session, heading into elections, and a review of some new laws set to take effect Saturday. That's ahead with Illinois in Focus, powered by thecentersquare.com. I'm Greg Bishop.
Hi, this is Chris Krug, publisher of the Center Square. Our team produces the nationally read and recognized news stories at thecentersquare.com, the country's fastest growing, nonprofit, nonpartisan, state-focused news and information site. We deliver essential Illinois news and information with a taxpayer sensibility through reporting that's easy to understand and easy to share with your friends and family. We know that you want to get a quick update on what's happening at the state capitol in Springfield and across the state. Our team writes short, impactful stories that help all Illinoisans understand what's going on in their home state. We know that you need information that allows you to understand what the governor and your local legislators are doing. Our team covers government and the activity of elected officials so you can make sense of how their activity affects you and your family and your future here in Illinois. We know Illinois because we live in Illinois. Get the news that you need to know at thecentersquare.com. That's thecentersquare.com. Thecentersquare.com.
This is Illinois Focus 2021 in Review, powered by thecentersquare.com. I'm Greg Bishop. Here's some of the top stories from the past year. Illinoisans fleeing the state in droves may be finding better employment opportunities elsewhere. One industry concerned about the trends is manufacturers. U.S. Census estimates released this month show Illinois lost nearly 114,000 people from July 2020 to July 2021. That's after years of continuous population decline. Illinois Manufacturers Association President and CEO Mark Densler said they see the long trend in manufacturing jobs.
In the last decade, October to October, Illinois has lost 24,000 manufacturing jobs, net manufacturing jobs. All of our neighboring states have gained manufacturing jobs at an average of 38,600.
And while the state's carved out incentives for certain manufacturers, like electric vehicle makers, Densler said there needs to be a more rounded approach to make Illinois more job-friendly for all sectors.
And the best way to do that is to create a strong economic infrastructure, good policies, good regulations that don't hamper growth.
While the final decennial census for Illinois released this summer shows the state lost more than 18,000 people in the past decade, yearly estimates put the number closer to 403,000 lost over the past decade. Republican State Senator Sally Turner said it's the state's high taxes, one-party rule, increased crime, and corruption that are to blame.
And when people look at those things, if they think, do I want to raise my family here with those types of issues?
Democratic State Representative LaShawn Ford said policymakers need to focus on combating crime, but also investing in early and higher education. He said prosperity should be the goal.
So we have to make sure that we do everything to make sure that we spend taxpayer dollars wisely. If we're overtaxing them, we need to lower those taxes.
Kiplinger recently rated Illinois the worst tax-friendly state in the nation for middle-class Americans. With vaccines available at the beginning of 2021, many thought the end was near for the COVID-19 pandemic. Kevin Bessler has this year in review.
Now, 12 months later, the pandemic lingers on. Governor J.B. Pritzker sounded optimistic in June.
The entire state is ready, and in more ways than one. I think we're all ready to move into phase 5, which is back to normal, back to where we were before.
Then Pritzker threatened to enact restrictions on Illinoisans again in August, citing rising coronavirus case rates. Representative Andrew Chesney said the state must not return to the days of business and social shutdowns.
Well, no, we can. And the only reason that we went there the first time is for political reasons. And if we're returning to that, it's only for political reasons. It's not scientific reasons.
According to the Illinois Department of Public Health, as of December 13th, over 1.9 million Illinoisans have contracted COVID-19. Pritzker said in January that he was aware that some people would refuse to get vaccinated, but was confident that would change.
Even among the most educated people I have heard people say, well, I want to see someone else get it first and see how they react, or maybe I want to wait till someone gets their second dose.
A vaccine was approved for kids aged 12 to 17. Then in October, Illinois unveiled a plan for vaccinating children aged 5 to 11. Some parents were hesitant. A study by Nick VinZant of Quote Wizard revealed multiple reasons why some parents are saying no.
The main reasons that we found nationwide and in Illinois are people are concerned about side effects. They're waiting to see if the vaccine is safe. they don't believe that their child needs to get vaccinated, or they simply don't vaccinate their children, period.
According to the Illinois Department of Public Health, around 4,000 fully vaccinated people have been hospitalized with COVID-19, with 72% of those being 65 or older. According to the Illinois Department of Public Health, as of December 13th, 8,019,507 of the state's eligible population is fully vaccinated, while 8,979,499 have at least one dose. I'm Kevin Bessler.
With just about 4 months shy of 2 years, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker's managed COVID-19 largely through executive order, and the state legislature has been mostly hands-off. Since March 2020, Pritzker's used monthly COVID-19 disaster proclamations and dozens of executive orders with varying degrees to order people to stay home, close businesses, keep kids from school, wear masks, and more. Some have had enough, like State Representative Dan Ugaste, who in the fall repeated his call for the legislature to provide a check on the governor.
It's something that's our job to do. It's something that the people of the state of Illinois expect us to do. And we're not living up to their expectations as their representatives.
Democratic State Senator Robert Martwick said he's comfortable having the governor manage the pandemic through executive order.
We're the slow-moving wheels of democracy, and the governor's office in emergency situations cannot be burdened by that.
In the summer, Senate President Don Harmon said the governor's managing the pandemic well.
Again, I don't think there's been any shortage of debate at the local level or at the state level. I think that we are all comfortable following the science, and everything does seem to be working. So, knock wood, we're going to keep going in the right direction.
But Ugaste said they have to hold public hearings about the governor's actions and policies. He reiterated that again this past summer.
I don't deny science. I believe in science, and I want to see the science and data we're being told is being relied upon in order to make these decisions.
The governor's most recent 30-day executive order expires January 8th. The mask mandates came off briefly this year, but Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker ordered them back on in schools after saying it was up to local districts. Pritzker ordered masks for all indoor activities in 2020. More than a year later, he let it expire. People are becoming more vaccinated. But then the CDC revised their recommendations, saying because vaccinated people were still spreading COVID-19, masks should be required in schools. In July, Pritzker said the decision should be a local one.
School districts and school boards will make decisions for the schools within their districts.
In August, he reversed course and reissued indoor mandates, including in schools.
School districts are potentially going to be held liable if they don't live up to the standard that is set by the CDC and by the state.
More than 700 parents have sued more than 140 districts over the mandates. Attorney Thomas DeVore secured temporary restraining orders and similar challenges blocking masks as a method of quarantine without due process.
And I hope school districts will take it upon themselves to do what they think they need to do without being scared. I hope that happens.
Some districts have had masks optional all school year. In Hudsonville, school board president Chad Weaver said they'll defend against Isby's threats.
There was a community member who stood up and said, I'll give $2,500 right now to assist in this and go forward with it. And
other districts have since made masks optional. It's unclear when the mandates will be lifted. Republican measures at the State House to limit mask mandates in schools have not been brought up for committee hearings. After most schools spent last year away because of the pandemic, students returned to the classroom last fall. Kevin Bessler has this year in review.
Many faced a bus driver shortage. Numerous districts were forced to tier bus schedules.
Due to the driver shortage, we had to change from two-tier to three-tier schedule to use drivers on multiple routes.
That is Peoria Superintendent of Schools Sharon Desmoulin-Carat. The Illinois Department of Public Health reported in October more than two-thirds of the state's 12 to 17 population had received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. The state then had to navigate getting the vaccine to kids aged 5 to 11. Dr. Michelle Barnes is a pediatrician at University of Illinois Health.
Our job as healthcare providers is to protect children from preventable diseases. And soon this will include protecting them from severe illness from COVID-19 by getting vaccinated.
Many schools are now using the Test to Stay program, which allows a student who is in contact with a positive case to avoid a quarantine as long as they are asymptomatic. Then the 2021 report card came out. The Illinois State Board of Education said the COVID-19 pandemic had a significant impact on Illinois schools last school year. The data revealed lower enrollment numbers, higher rates of absenteeism, and lower rates of ninth grades on track to graduate. Researcher Brenda Dixon said enrollment in Illinois schools was down 6% from the year before, saying there were 70,000 fewer students enrolled in Illinois public schools statewide. I'm Kevin Bessler.
For the first time in decades in 2021, Illinois got a new House Speaker, and the Democratic Party of Illinois got a new chairman as Michael Madigan fell from power. Since 1983, Madigan had been Speaker of the Illinois House for all but 2 years. He served as chairman of the Democratic Party of Illinois since 1998. After being named as Public Official A in the ComEd bribery scandal in 2020, his power slipped, despite not being charged with the crime and maintaining he did nothing wrong. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, a high-ranking party official in Illinois, signaled in January 2021 that Madigan's power was coming to an end.
I expressed myself clearly the day after the election on November 4th about my feelings about Michael Madigan and the chairmanship of the Illinois Democratic Party. The whole issue of a speakership has really fallen into the hands of the members of the House.
Democrats in the Illinois House eventually selected Hillside Democratic State Representative Emmanuel Chris Welch to be Speaker. After losing the Speaker's office, Madigan then announced he was retiring before the end of his term, giving them the ability to pick his replacement. After further scrutiny, Madigan's first choice ended up resigning within a matter of hours.
His name was put out in advance like everybody else. There was a complete circulation of resumes. Every resume that was submitted was circulated.
Madigan then selected a new replacement to take over that open seat in Chicago. Later in the year, State Representative Kelly Cassidy and others were able to get some changes to the vacancy provisions requiring timelines and public postings and hearings, but it's not perfect, she said.
Under the current law, there's nothing preventing the committeemen from getting together separately prior to this forum and making their decision either.
Not long after picking his replacement, Madigan left his post as chairman of the Democratic Party of Illinois. After a truncated 2020 legislative session out of concerns of spreading COVID-19, 2021 saw lawmakers come back to the Capitol, remote hiccups and all. The COVID-19 pandemic led to a truncated 2020 session, with the House holding session in the Springfield Convention Center, costing taxpayers more than $330,000. The Senate held session at the Capitol. Combined, they canceled nearly 70% of session days in 2020. Even then, Senate Minority Leader Dan McConkie said public participation was limited.
They need to have access to their elected representatives in a manner that is more than just having a constituent email.
With the new General Assembly in 2021, action headed back to the Capitol, but the hearings were remote, and legislators were allowed to vote remotely during floor action. Democratic State Senator Doris Turner said some members still have concerns about COVID-19.
If you saw the legislators that were struggling on screen in order to be a part of this process, you would perhaps, have a different attitude about it.
There was a spring session, a special session on energy, and another on redoing legislative maps, plus the fall veto session packed full of action. Those at the Capitol held hearings remotely. During one of those, State Representative Tim Butler told State Representative Janet Yang Rohr her feed was breaking up.
Can you hear me?
Mr. Chairman, this underscores the fact why it would be great for us to convene these meetings in person.
Butler later worried the remote option will be status quo with a perpetual emergency.
I think we're going to get past the pandemic and the Democrats are going to say this is an easy way to do business where we don't have to come to Springfield and we don't have to see people directly. We're just going to hide behind our computer screens. I really fear that's where we're going.
With a Democratic supermajority in Springfield, the Legislative Black Caucus pushed through several measures through the General Assembly in 2021. Kevin Bessler has this year in review.
The Safety Act gives the Attorney General's office authority to investigate and take civil action to address patterns of unconstitutional or unlawful policing. Kwame Raoul said every Illinois police department should take note of the changing landscape.
I think all police departments have been in a process of looking in the mirror and looking at how they can improve their processes of working towards constitutional policing.
One crime package drastically changes use of force guidelines, requires body cameras for every police department in the state, and ends cash bail. Representative Andrew Chesney said passing legislation was a big mistake.
Well, you're not on the right side of history. You are going to pass a flawed bill. A bill that is not supported by labor, is not supported by the Sheriff's Association, is not supported by the police chiefs. Everybody that we tasked to keep us safe They all say this makes you less safe.
I'm Kevin Bessler.
Legislative maps for upcoming state house elections in 2021 brought a lot of tumults to the process. Democrats going it alone and Republican and civic groups calling foul. U.S. Census data used to draw new boundaries for the next 10 years was delayed because of the pandemic. In May, without final data in hand, Democrats drew maps Republicans said were drawn behind closed doors. Despite pleas from Republicans and civic groups to hold off on the maps until final data was released, Democrats passed maps based on estimates, and the governor enacted them. After final census data was released, Democrats passed revised maps, while groups said that they were rushing things. The governor then signed those. Republicans said the governor broke his promise in signing maps drawn by politicians. Pritzker defended the maps as elevating the state's diversity. A three-judge panel said the first set of maps based on estimates weren't any good, and the revised maps Pritzker enacted could be revised again with suggestions from plaintiffs. Mexican-American Legal Defense and Educational Fund staff attorney Ernest Herrera said the revised maps have problems.
The issue with it is that it dilutes Latino voting strength and commits a racial gerrymander against Latino voters in House District 21 and Senate District 11.
Similar concerns were filed by Republicans and by the NAACP. A $40 billion ask from Illinois at the beginning of the pandemic in 2020 developed into around $162 billion in federal taxpayer funds through 2021. The federal government approved $6 trillion in aid since the beginning of the pandemic. The Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget tracked the spending for every state, and their COVIDMoneyTracker.org website showed Illinois getting around $162 billion across all sectors, public and private. CRFB Senior Vice President Mark Goldwine said, while all states get funds, Illinois was an outlier for borrowing from a new Federal Reserve bond program.
As it turned out, almost nobody sold them those bonds because they didn't need to. The exception being the state of Illinois and New York's Metropolitan Transit Authority, MTA.
The total combined or already spent for Illinois includes $64 billion in loans and grants for small, medium, and large businesses to aid for local governments and state governments, totaling more than $14.1 billion to nearly $9 billion for K-12 education. And as the nation tries to recover from a COVID-19 pandemic economy, Illinois is among the states dragging the nation's economic recovery. Kevin Bessler has this year in review.
Illinois had the 13th worst economic contraction in the country, with gross output shrinking by over 11% during the pandemic. Illinois State University Professor George Waters says there are obstacles holding back progress, including a disruption in the supply chain.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's the major story. All the stories you hear about supply chain problems, that can drive up prices for individual goods quite a bit in the short term.
Chuck Castro, head of news and research at Alignable, says Illinois small businesses continue to struggle finding workers.
That was really high in Illinois. That was 70% of the people that we polled in Illinois said that the labor shortage was really hampering their recovery.
With prices increasing over 10% and inventories incredibly low in 2021, prospective home buyers are wondering what the market holds for next year in Illinois. Daniel McMillan heads the real estate department at the University of Illinois Chicago. He believes the increase in housing prices has to come to an end, but expects it to be a gradual occurrence.
In the long run, house prices can't grow that much faster than income grows. And right now they're growing a lot faster than income is growing. It can't continue for a long period of time.
Jeffrey Hewings from the University of Illinois says it continues to be a seller's market, so they can be selective on who they sell to.
Buyers are being discriminated against if they are not able to offer very attractive down payments.
Mortgage rates are expected to increase in 2022. Fannie Mae projects the average 30-year fixed-rate mortgage will average 3.3% next year. I'm Kevin Bessler.
Those are some of the top stories from the past year from the Center Square, Illinois. Coming up, we'll take a look at some expectations for the new year. This is Illinois in Focus 2021 in Review, powered by thecentersquare.com. I'm Greg Bishop. This is Illinois in Focus, powered by thecentersquare.com. I'm Greg Bishop. The new year brings 287 new laws on a variety of things for Illinois. They run the gamut from controversial to common sense. Starting January 1st, Illinois state flags bought by state institutions must be made in the United States. Also starting Saturday, private insurance plans regulated by the state must provide pancreatic cancer screenings. Dry needling is also allowed as physical therapy beginning Saturday. Another measure says rental car companies won't be liable for stolen rental cars if a report's not filed by the renter within 24 hours. Yet another measure taking effect January 1 lifts the vehicle trade-in cap and decreases the taxes owed for certain size trailers. Josh Rutowski with motorcycle lobby A-Bait of Illinois fought hard to reduce that from $118 to $36.
It was something that a lot of my off-road riders and motorcycle riders were both yelling about, and a lot of people were angry about all over the state.
Also impacting motorcyclists starting January 1, passengers must be able to rest their foot on the footrest while in motion. One controversial measure involves changes to the Healthcare Right of Conscience Act. The measure carving out COVID mitigation from the law, it's meant to protect people's rights to not be discriminated against for their healthcare decisions, had bipartisan opposition. State Representative Adam Niemerg said, despite that not taking effect until June, he has concerns.
Well, my worry really is we'll come back here in a couple of weeks, and they will not need the supermajority, and that legislation will be amended with a simple majority, making it effective immediately.
But not all new laws are controversial. One taking effect Saturday allows kids to operate lemonade stands without having to get a permit from the local health department. Altogether, there are 287 new laws set to take effect January 1. The coming session of the Illinois legislature will be a bit truncated compared to previous spring sessions. And that session starts January 4th. It ends April 8th. That's a week shy of two full months before typical adjournment May 31st. Governor J.B. Pritzker expects remote committee hearings because of ongoing COVID-19 concerns, but he laid out what his top priority is.
One priority every session that is the number one priority, and that's balancing our budget.
Republican State Representative Dan Brady said having the truncated session could mean wish list legislation will take a back burner.
To the priority of trying to make sure we have a budget and stabilize that budget the best we can with the dollars that have come in from the federal government, COVID-related, and using those dollars for what they're supposed to. That's a whole other discussion.
Early focus on how taxpayer money's spent could bring more transparency, Brady said, that taxpayers haven't seen in the past. And the 2022 election for governor is likely to be an expensive and politically charged contest. Governor J.B. Pritzker has already spent tens of millions of his own dollars on securing the job, and he's up for re-election. He denied having eyes on the White House in 2024, which would be in the middle of a possible second term.
Look, it's certainly instructive to watch how difficult it is for someone to run for president. I ran for governor. That was a difficult endeavor as well. And we're going to do it again during this coming year.
Pritzker could face a Democratic challenger in the primary in Beverly Miles, a nurse from Chicago. Then there is a slew of Republican candidates vying for the job. State Senator Darren Bailey, former State Senator Paul Shimpf, businessman Gary Rabine, venture capitalist Jesse Sullivan, Chicago area attorney Max Solomon, and U.S. Army veterans Cheryl Erickson and Christopher Roper. Billionaire hedge fund owner Ken Griffin has pledged to use some of his wealth to support a Pritzker opponent. And while a lot of focus may be on the race for governor in the new year, names are lining up to take on the Secretary of State's seat being vacated by longtime politician Jesse White. White, who's had the seat for more than 20 years, announced last summer he's not seeking another term. Lined up is a slew of Democrats looking to get the nomination. One is former State Senator Alexi Janulius.
Focus on modernization, skip the line program to get digital driver's license.
But there's also Republicans hoping to snag a statewide seat, including State Representative Dan Brady. He said the jury's still out on an electronic driver's license.
Before Illinois would invest, number one, into that, making sure that the TSA and how that's going to work, not only the identification side of things, but travels, international travels, and the list goes on.
Brady could face opposition in the June primary from Chicago area media figure William Kelly. Petition circulation begins mid-January, followed by a filing period in March. The primary is June 28th. Next week, the team from the Center Square will be on the ground for the return of the Illinois General Assembly. We'll continue to track the latest election news and the ongoing fallout of COVID-19 and the government's response, impacting schools, the economy, and more. This has been Illinois in Focus, 2021 in Review, powered by thecentersquare.com. For the Center Square, Illinois, I'm Greg Bishop.